know it's not Christmas yet, folks, but I'm Santa Claus. Gonna bring you a special treat, special gift here after I eat your cookies and drink your eggnog. Everybody, this is Martin Zender, and I have a special guest in the studio today. That's right. I have Dennis Brown, who's here with me. He's a man. I've known this guy for 3 years, and we've been trying to get together, but we finally did it. Dennis, welcome to the Martin Zender Show.
Martin, thanks, but I don't believe in Christmas.
He doesn't believe in Christmas. Okay, can we get somebody in here who believes in Christmas? What about the Easter Bunny? Tell me you believe in the Easter Bunny.
I'm just not going there.
You know?
It's not going to work. It will not. I can't embrace it. My mind can't wrap my head around it.
Tooth Fairy?
Nah, if they give me money.
The Tooth Fairy does give you money
in exchange
for a tooth. Yeah. There's always a catch in the
world. I cannot afford to lose those.
All right, you said a great phrase there. I can't get my mind around it. Let's talk about Scripture. Let's talk about getting our minds around things. Let's talk about the human apprehension. Oh, wait a minute. I got to share something with our listeners, first of all. Folks, I'm sorry the show's late today. I could give you all sorts of excuses, but I won't. Friday's show was done, but it wasn't posted until Sunday. So make sure you go on, log on, look for Friday's show because it's there. I know it wasn't there on Friday. There's a reason for that, too. Well, there's a reason for everything under the sun. All right. Now, let's go to the apprehensions. Let's go to the importance of the mind. Let's go, in fact, to Colossians 1:21. Dennis, well, you got a version there. It's not the Concordant version. What are you looking at?
Yeah, it's the New King James, which tends to massacre and destroy some of the truths of the Scripture. But it's something that I've been using for a while, and I do refer to the Concordant literal as well. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to work out of this one for today, Martin.
I will allow this for today.
And Martin, thank you for the opportunity just to share with you. It's been a long time since I've had some fellowship, and this has been really good.
Good, yes. For me. It's the same for me, too. We need this face-to-face fellowship. I've been telling people that all over the country. That's why I travel all over the country, because face-to-face fellowship is so important. Facebook just doesn't get it.
No, and so you're talking about the mind.
Yeah.
And we were sort of, over the last 12 hours, we were just kind of, we were hashing over in our minds the importance of the mind and how everything starts in the mind. I mean, everything from your computer to a pen or a book, it starts as a thought. And Paul, when he speaks to the Colossians, if you want to talk about, or if you want to look at what he says, he starts in the 18th verse, which I'm not going to read, but he says something really, really important in the 21st verse. And he says that there's something that we're subjected to, and that's alienation. The trouble for us in our minds is we have a hard time believing that God is responsible for this, that God is responsible for subjecting us to alienation. But it's pretty clear in Romans 11:36, or 11:32, I believe it is, Martin, where it says, "For it is God who has locked us into disobedience."
Right.
And it says, in the psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 3, that God even turned us to destruction, but he doesn't leave us in destruction. He brings us back to himself.
Yeah, Romans 8:20 is a parallel verse there. You know, to vanity was the creation subjected, not willingly. So we have a field where God is subjecting us to vanity and to a non-apprehension state.
And some of the translations say in that verse, in that 8:20, you can use the word futility, you can use frustration. And wow, I mean, when you get into a relationship with God, when God pulls you in and he starts pulling you deeper into the relationship with him, you start probing him and learning about his ways, there are days when the frustration level is so high and we start having to deal with these things. And Paul says in the 21st verse, he says, you know, you were alienated and enemies where? In your minds. So we have to understand the importance of the mind in this process. You and I were sharing about athletics, and we were talking about putting, you know, two cement blocks down and putting a 9-foot board on those cement blocks a foot off the ground. And you ask someone to walk that plank and they'll do it easily because it's only a foot off the ground. But then if you raise it up 20 feet, the same plank becomes the awareness in their minds of fear and the awareness of something bad happening is escalates, and
yeah.
they can't, they won't do it.
Yeah. The analogy I thought of, the scriptural example that would be Peter when he was walking on the water, when his yeah. eyes were set upon yeah. Jesus, it was no problem. He actually
when his
got
awareness.
The, yeah. And he was that guy. He was the perfect guy to conduct this little experiment with, if you will, because he was audacious. He was bold. As soon as he stepped out of that boat and was looking at the Lord, he was walking. And then as soon as he became aware of the waves,
yeah.
and the analogy would be in the case of the plank, as soon as you're aware of the height and the danger, that's when we have the danger. It's when your mind starts to be corrupted from the truth and it gets into the lies. I'm going to jump on something you said earlier just to make sure that people realize that we're not talking about this mystic new age mind altering things, but we can't deny that Paul brings up the mind and he brings up the realization and the recognition. And when you said that everything that has come into being in this world has come, relatively speaking, through someone's thoughts, now, what you mean there, for instance, is a man thought to invent a coffee mug or yeah. a pair of glasses or a book, and then that man goes about making that. And what he's doing is he's making an image that he first conceives of in his mind, and you extrapolated that very brilliantly, I thought, to God. I mean, God's the original
yes.
being who thought it and spoke it into existence. Of course, he can do it instantly. It takes human beings a long process, for instance, to make this coffee mug, and yet it's the same principle, isn't it?
It is, and I think that word image and imagination, if you really, once you get into the understanding of what God is doing and what man is doing, man is perverting. Man has this alienation present in his mind, and he takes in that imagination, he starts to create his own God in his own image, in man's
right,
image.
Right.
And Paul says, you're alienated. You're taking your own imagination and you're creating a God for yourself, and you are alienated. But you know what? Look what Paul says in the latter part of that verse. He says, this is in your mind. And Martin, for those of us who've been in religion and we've been yanked outside the camp, and we're now outside the camp.
Yeah.
We have made it about so many other things. We've made it about behavior. We've made it about the way we dress. We made it about how little or how we don't drink or
I have
don't
people
smoke
doing that now. I have people doing that now. They're trying to make it about your behavior when
Let's
it's not
get points
it's about
with God.
What are we apprehending? What are we apprehending about God?
Right. Yeah, and so we have a starting point, which is the alienation of the mind, and God started us there. If you go back to Genesis, it says, "And evening and morning was what? The first day." It always starts in darkness,
right,
of the alienated mind,
mm-hmm.
and it progresses to the enlightenment of the Christ mind. And God is enlightening us, but how has he done that? He hasn't done it by our behavior. He hasn't done it by saying, if you behave, if you stop drinking, if you stop smoking, if you stop doing this, 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 and this, if you go to church, if you pay your tithe. No, he's, what's the verse says? It says, yet now he has reconciled. Who has accomplished this reconciliation? Conciliation first, reconciliation ultimately. But who has done this?
Yeah.
It says, awaken to righteousness. And what's another word for righteousness here? Right standing.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up to the right standing.
Wake up to the fact.
To the fact that God has reconciled. God has reconciled. This was his initiative.
Yeah.
This was his mind. This was his nature that brought this forth. If we could have any part of this, we could say, hey, look what I did. No, God says, where you start out? You are alienated, dude.
Yeah, in your mind, this is the big beef I have with Christianity, and I know you have it too, is that they see that the act of the mind, the act of the will, is the thing that makes this righteousness true. But it doesn't. All the act of the will does is it brings you to an awareness of what has already been done. That's why, Paul says another big, you are estranged in comprehension. Only in comprehension. You
wow,
see what I mean? We weren't
good.
Estranged in fact.
No.
Because in fact, God is now conciliated to the world. We talked about that first, 2 right?
Yeah.
They're actually conciliated to God through the work of Christ.
And they don't know it.
Yeah.
Why don't they know it?
Because of their apprehensions.
Because they're alienation.
They're missing
the mark.
Yeah, and who's done that?
Well,
Christianity has done it.
You said it the best in one of the things you said. You said, you're not saved because you believe. You believe because you're saved.
Yeah, that's it. That puts it in a nutshell right there.
That is so confrontational to the carnal mind, to the alienated mind. Wait a minute. You mean I don't have to work to do this? No, no. In fact, if you try to work,
yeah,
you have disqualified yourself.
Yeah,
if you try to operate in your own mind to get this finished, you know, you have disqualified yourself. It's not acceptable. You can't get points with God. You quit. People think, oh, if I quit smoking, I'll get points with God. No, there's only one person who ever got points with God.
And it was Christ. And he didn't do it by quitting smoking.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, because...
He didn't.
Yeah.
I wonder if he smoked.
I don't know. You know, I bet...
That would be blasphemy to many minds. To
well, the fact that he drank is blasphemy to many minds. You and I had somebody tell me recently that the only reason Jesus Christ hung out with the so-called, air quotes, lowlifes, like the prostitutes and the sinners, is because so he could rescue them. I mean, that was the only reason, as if he didn't have fellowship, as if there wasn't some kind of heart pull with those people. It was like a strictly 82nd Airborne mission for him. Like, yeah. I'm only going to hang out with that prostitute long enough to give her the truth, and then I'm going to detach myself from her sorry, sinful self.
No, you know why Jesus hung out with them? Because he was concealed from the beginning. When the Son of God was announced to creation, who did God announce it to? The kings?
Absolutely not.
No. Who did he announce it to? The lowest. Mm-hmm. The shepherds. Like when Jesus did his miracles, he would do it in a boat out on the water in darkness.
That's right.
And then after he would do it, what would he do? He'd go, guys, I got to go away for a while. Because he knew what was going to happen. He knew the carnal mind was going to try to get him to the front. This is the whole, maybe we should have saved that for another time.
Well, tell me about his first miracle.
Well, his first miracle, he literally tripped up the religious establishment. He goes into a wedding. Now, you have to understand that Jesus arrives to the wedding, and I'm going to build this foundation for you. And it's in there if you want to search it out. But he goes to a wedding, and they had been drinking already because it says, you know, the master of the ceremony says, you know, usually they bring the best wine out last. And how did he say that? Usually.
Yeah, usually they bring the first wine out first when everybody's in their right minds.
Like,
and then when everybody's smashed, they bring out the crap wine.
We've been drinking here and here's the good stuff. Like, what is
they
going on here?
They
say
the good stuff for last. Never seen that before.
The first thing that happens you need to see about that was that Jesus went to a gathering where people were drinking heavily. Celebrating.
My gosh, no. Happiness?
He
joy?
He really did.
Oh, no, God.
Doesn't
God hate happiness and joy?
No.
This is a revelation. Keep talking, man.
So then he does something which is just unbelievable. He takes 6 water pots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you know anything about these water pots, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you. These were the pots that were for ceremonial cleansing. And this is a really good representation of the law and how Jesus takes the water and he takes the very structure or the very container that was used for the law. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this and I'm going to use this to fill it with wine. And this would have absolutely tripped up the religious people, because you can't take our ceremonial cleansing pots and use them for people to drink out of. That's for ceremonial cleansing.
Yeah, we're
going
to use that to have a party, basically.
Jesus takes that, which was the old structure, and he says, you know what we're going to do with this? We are going to transform this from stiff and law, and we're going to turn it into a celebration. And this is what the kingdom of God is about. It's about a celebration.
I love
it. It's about freedom. And it's about leaving your alienation and leaving this stuff behind. And for to me to live is what?
Live is Christ.
Is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about I need to behave in a certain way that men who are standing on high pulpits are telling you. And, I mean, they might be telling you and they might look good in their good suit. But you know what happens when they get in the car with their wife and the kids are screaming? And they're on their way home?
Yeah.
They're no different than
anyone else. They're just like everybody else.
They're just like
everybody
else.
It's got to be more than that, doesn't it? It has to be more than behavior. It has to be spiritual.
To be.
And it starts in the mind.
And it has to be something God did.
Can I get you back in the studio tomorrow? Because I got to pursue this. We have to look further into this.
You know what we need to talk about tomorrow?
What?
We need to talk about how God used Judas.
Love that topic.
And his alienated mind.
Let's do it.
And how Jesus even said, you got to do this, Judas.
All right, folks, obviously I've temporarily thrown out the book of Hebrews. We've been studying that. We're gonna get back to that, but I have to take this opportunity to have this great man of God in the studio with me talking about these things of consequence. We're gonna pursue a little bit of Judas tomorrow. We're gonna do a little bit more on the apprehension. We're gonna talk about how the Apostle Paul alone uses the word realization and recognition. We're gonna be here tomorrow. I hope you're here with us. This has been Martin Zender and Dennis Brown. Thanks for listening.